All right, I'd like to call the January 22nd, 2019 meeting to order. I request a moment of silence and the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge of Allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, Joel.
Okay, roll call, Dave Bench.
Present.
Bill Miller.
Present.
Mark Sauer.
Present.
Almost forgot his name. Roll call complete.
Okay. Looking for the approval of the minutes from the January 8th, 2019 regularly scheduled trustee meeting.
I read them all over, so I can make a motion to approve the January 8th.
I'll second that.
Okay, roll call. Bill Miller?
Yes.
Dave Bench?
Yes.
Mark Sauer?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay, fiscal officer's report.
Any pieces of paper that you have in your possession? Let's start with fund status report first.
Oh, wait a minute.
Pay attention to the dates.
If you guys have extra fund status down there, Joel.
I guess
I'm going to borrow yours.
Thank you.
Fund status report in, let's see here. Pooled investments in Star Ohio, $582,470.45. And in checking at Krogan, $177,265.55. Payment listing from after the last meeting till tonight totaling $32,201.54 with warrant numbers 17274 through 17308. And let's see. Also in your pile of papers is the deposits made since last meeting. Somebody took mine.
That's the receipt detail?
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Not many, but you have totaling $2,220 even from last meeting till tonight.
Okay, sorry, dude.
Yeah. Yourself. Oh, it doesn't matter at this point. But, yeah. You guys have already seen checks and looked those over. Any questions on any of that stuff you paid or approved?
If you guys noticed down there on the payment listing, the Mike Coleman warrant number 17299. Mark, you probably don't know her, but Miss Coleman, who lives in Bono, is 90-something years old, bus driver for most of us kids here. And they were going to hold a birthday party for her here, and he come to the shop and says, Bo, he goes, I wouldn't be canceling, but I can't expect a bunch of 90-year-olds to drive in this weather. And I said, I understand. It's kind of an it's a circumstance that he can't control, so
yeah.
I did allow him to cancel the hall rental for that day.
That
so.
Certainly sounds appropriate, yeah.
All right. So we need a motion to approve the payment listings.
So moved.
I can second that.
Okay, roll call. Mark Sattler.
Yes.
Dave Bench.
Yes.
Bo Miller.
Yes.
Motion carried.
Joel, do you have anything else?
Sure do. I did look at the agenda here, but our policy will wait. This is a pile of additional first half 2018 assessment, and there are general tax amounts listed in here. what I did, and I only made one copy because, well, I make this, but I put a description of, and remember, you guys had seen from the payment listing all those properties that we owe and the small assessment that we're charged. These either had some sort of tax, general tax attached to it, along with the special assessment, or it was a larger than normal. So I'd like you guys to review them, because at this point we didn't petition to remove those general taxes from the lots and properties, parcels that we own. So we're still obligated to pay them. Like we found out last year where the rec field was never addressed and we owed quite a bit. But we fixed that, you know. This is also something that you should look at. Obviously, we are still obligated to pay it. But
so we can petition, you can petition them now for the second half, you think?
Yeah, I would think so. And the general tax is what I'm concerned about, not the assessment. As I was told, we have to pay assessments on properties that we own. No matter what that is. Mm-hmm. So, for example, the township complex has, what, a $472 assessment? You signed that. It was quite a bit, but it's also got many buildings on it and parking lot, and it's just what it is, right?
Right.
And then, of course, the Kennedy Park complex, that whole goes back, you know, same thing. It's large, and so we have assessments that we have to pay.
So, like, there's one for 432 West Avenue with a fairly substantial special assessment and a prior delinquent amount as well.
And we must have inherited that when we took the property over.
So, okay, so we're responsible for
it.
Yeah.
I would bet that that was my guess with the...
Look at the second page.
The delinquent on it.
To see where it came from. Some of them mentioned land.
Lucas
bank.
County Land Reutilization Corporation was a prior owner. Sale amount zero.
Yeah. I'm guessing is it was might have been missed by the previous fiscal officer because it's only $73 on that delinquency, and the special assessment taxes are $65.33. Yeah. So it couldn't have been years behind. It was probably missed.
Something was missed.
Yeah.
Because we get it free and clear.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, and I don't know, not all these properties, we've had some for a while, right? And I guess, Mark, I know you guys talked before the meeting started about how can we move away from having these liabilities.
Absolutely.
Because not that 90 cents is a lot of money to pay for a lot that we own, but...
No, but this one here is $131.82.
Right, but that one is $135. So.
At North Street... This one's $65 at West Avenue. This one's $64 at Lakemore.
And I took a snapshot of the lot from Aries. Not that it helps that much, but it gives you an idea it exists and where it's at. And they're mostly in Reno, of course.
I bet many of those is sewer.
Yeah,
I think they're sewer assessments. Okay.
You're probably exactly right. Okay. Yes, so, Chief.
Right. Just a question. Is when the township sells these property, you'll add all of that to the cost of the purchasing, doesn't it?
The way we were doing it here, the way we started last year was, we were instead of selling, we were trying to sell them now for the appraised value.
That's awesome. Sorry.
The value of the. That the county gives us plus $150 to pay for title and Linda's time.
Municipal Fire Department, you have a rescue run 915 North Decant Road on a diabetic reaction.
Okay.
Municipal Fire Department, you have a rescue.
All right.
915 North
Decant. I'll hand those out. You guys
can have to. Okay. You might be back before we get there too. Never mind.
Yeah, right. If you can go through all of that stuff with them for me, I might be asked.
Mark me on, I am responding so I get paid, please. I was here in spirit. So anyways, in my opinion, and you guys already talked about this, can we move some of these away? And obviously, I need to call if I need to. But what are they going to tell me? You owe this, right?
And then we need to come up with a plan in the future to, for second half.
Yeah, well, I think we definitely need to petition to get out of the
general tax. Yes.
And then we work on getting as many of these properties liquidated as fast as we can.
Or at least the ones that aren't 90 cents, right?
Yeah.
Or the ones that make sense with the joining owners, right?
Yeah.
Because there's quite a few, and yeah, but I don't know which ones are for the sewer either, right? So let me ask this question.
Well, probably all of them down in Reno, aren't they? All of them, it's all, or is that all, not all sewered?
No.
Not all.
Nope. It's just where the concentrated housing was.
So do we have to become the owners of land where they put sewer buildings? How do they work?
No, that's county.
Okay.
The lift stations.
Yeah, so what do you, I'm sorry to ask this, but I mean, so what are we talking about when we talk about sewers in these properties then?
The assessment for the sewer running through.
Oh, okay. That, okay, I'm sorry. That makes sense.
And if the lots were big enough, they also got a tap.
Okay, and they just, through there. That makes sense.
So whether the lot owner decided to hook it up or not.
Some of them, there was no structures at the time, but it was plenty big enough to be what they called a buildable lot.
For future.
But the system that they put in was only made for the existing houses, is how they put it. So why they put taps at lots like that didn't make any sense.
When it wouldn't handle the additional growth. Hmm. Okay.
Okay. Well, Joel, obviously we have to have these paid. Yeah. We can't get around that now. I mean, we got to pay them for there, but
I think it's just a plan going forward.
Absolutely.
And these are the ones that had general tax assigned to them. The ones that you paid were not, right? That's why I pulled them aside and said, "Oh, well, those aren't a problem."
And okay. It's just paperwork, but then you have to go down to downtown because that's what I had to do for the.
So these come back to you for
check. I have to,
exactly.
Okay, Joel, anything else?
No. Oh, yeah. Anyways, I'm just going to be meeting with Mr. Rubenstein tomorrow, and we're going to try to get some move towards permanent appropriations and close out. And W-2s are out to employees and. We're just getting 18 finished up. I have some Hinkle notes I have to do and just trying to get us out of 18 and end of 19. And then also, sorry, I got notified that the 2017 audit is started and I have to respond and start to provide documentation to them. And I will they give me a list, and I just got to start sending that stuff to them, and I think they take it back and they review it.
Do they audit us every year, Joel?
Yeah, they just are behind. So 16 happened last year, 17 starting this year.
So every year we get audited by them?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Anything else?
No, that's it. Thank you very much.
Okay. Looking for a motion to approve the fiscal officer's report.
I so move.
Second.
Okay. Roll call. Bo Miller?
Yes.
Mark Sattler?
Yes.
Dave Bench?
Yes.
Motion carried. Thank you.
Okay. You want to tell you what we'll do if you don't mind? We'll.
He gave me his report.
Yeah. You want to go through it now? Yeah. Or
I'll make it a lot faster.
Okay. Perfect.
So calls to date, 4 difficulty breathing, 4 hemorrhage, 2 alarm, 1 fire, alarm meaning like a non-medical alarm, fire alarm, 4 medical alarm, 1 fire alarm, 3 motor vehicle accident, 4 ill, 2 injured, 1 heat, and 1 wire down. That's calls to date. He provided a list of all the calls and locations.
So those are, okay. Sorry, were those all medical?
No.
Oh,
hemorrhage,
one fire, one
bleeding,
fire.
Bleeding, breathing.
One fire alarm, okay.
General alarm, one fire alarm, medical alarm.
Okay.
Fire alarm, like commercial.
Got it.
Motor vehicle accident, 3. Ill person, 4. And that's just how the dispatch puts it in the system.
I see.
What it comes out being is different, right?
Commercial fire alarm.
Yeah, I don't know, something at school or?
It's the low water pumping station for Toledo. Pumping station. Since they redid that, alarmed everyone. It's very sensitive right now, doesn't take much set them off. Cooking in the kitchen and they walk away from it. It smokes a little too much in there, it sets them off.
To follow up on Medic 32, this email from Gov Deals, Ethan Hill. He has it listed and it's gonna be sent live. This was January 14th for the 92 Ford E350. And the auction has a reserve of $10,000. Also in his report, from Dymex Services, he has a quote. This is for the extractor. This is for the electrical and plumbing of the extractor. And also moving that plymo vent that he mentioned at the last meeting. He has a quote for $15,681 even. That's from Dymec. And then this looks like from Yaki Electric. And this is an estimate for removing the plymo vent. This is for everything.
These are competing bids?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. I'm sorry, as I just am looking at this. So this one from Yaki Electric is plumbing, electrical, and plymo vent. His total is not on here. If I give the total for this one moment please. I don't know why it's not summarized on this. They break out each job, I guess. Plus $9,884.
The difference.
There's a difference in what each one of them are doing.
Yeah, it's quite a bit of difference.
I don't know if it's getting the same. If it's getting the plumbing and electrical ran for the extractor.
So has Tony looked at these two bids yet and said that each one does the minimum or this one doesn't do enough or anything?
He's not here to speak on it.
Okay.
But he has two bids for this project, which includes the plymo vent moving, which is separate from the extractor, but he would like to do it since they're there.
Okay. So, all right, I guess my questions would be for Tony. Do you have bids? Do you have one or more bids that take care of everything that you need done, the minimum that you need done on everything? And which one are ones satisfy your minimum?
Okay.
Secondly, we have our appropriation budget put together, and does he know where this gets charged?
Sure.
Yeah.
Right, absolutely. So that's what that looks like. Those are
okay.
And try to keep all his paper. Yeah.
Yeah.
Give him back to him. He's gonna love it. Then he also has. This must be for his. I like my report a lot better. Safety message for tonight is cold weather, icy roads.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Careful.
I forgot to do that. Looks like he has from Acumed Billing Incorporated a draft contract for a billing service agreement. For soft billing for EMS type calls,
as what's mentioned there.
I don't know if that was the recommended one from the various departments in our area, but I think last meeting he only said he had one communication. That might be what that is. So he's moving along on that. So, and then stress care looks like. We lost Workplace Resources as our employee resource contractor company.
They went out of business.
They went out of business.
Workplace Resources went under?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So this looks like a agreement that paperwork for using stress care, which if I remember correctly, this might have been what Alan Clay is using in the recommendation from them. or what they went
along with? It got sent to me, and I just give it to him.
Okay.
I give to him because the fire department uses it all the time.
That's right.
Us, we don't.
But we have that option to use it, too.
Yeah.
But we have the higher risk, yeah, the fire department. So, anyways, that looks like what that is.
So, any idea about fees for this EAP?
Look on the second page. Is there anything else that I have no idea?
That's what he was worried about, the fee. That's why.
So, client sessions. Oh, so they're going to, this is all a la carte.
Oh, that's good.
Right? They're going to charge by the client sessions, evaluations by per case, dot per case, hourly rates for stress care behavioral. Okay, so it's, all right.
So that's what that is. I think it, I don't know what others he can look at, but I mean, that's probably the recommendation.
What we could look at too is he does get he was getting a report. I remember specifically, he could get a report from Workplace Resources, not who was there, but how often the service was used.
Yeah.
You know, if they say, hey, you guys were using it 12 times a month.
Right.
That's what they tell you. And then we could kind of figure in what this is. I mean,
that would be nice to be able to do that.
This is a very important tool, I think, to have for them guys, especially. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we could get that number from him. You know, like, hey, what was the average, you know, per month or per year did we use it, you know?
Right. You guys on the fiscal officer would have that paperwork. He wouldn't have it. Comes here to the township from Workplace Resources. It just, on their paper, says you had one person show up.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't say what they showed up for. It just says you had one person. Then it may go.
Well, how did we get billed for Workplace Resources?
I think it was just a flat out.
Yeah. Oh, it was flat, right?
Yep. I don't remember. I mean, I don't remember ever getting a mail in 18. We didn't use them, I don't think, in 18.
Well,
maybe for that.
Right. You get your agreement that we'd sign every year.
Yeah.
Then after that, the only time you get a statement is if somebody used it.
Did we use them for the triple fatalities?
Most probably, if anybody.
If anybody went to it.
But I don't remember ever even seeing a bill for that. That's, to me, I'm just saying, like, that's.
Well, you wouldn't have got a bill from it because when you signed the contract.
If they were on a flat fee.
$10,000.
If they were on retainer.
You paid that no matter how many people came or didn't go.
Okay. So the last thing I guess I can report on behalf of the fire department, only because I was there all weekend and having a good time, was that they did staffing starting at 11 a.m. on Saturday till midday Sunday. And we actually had calls throughout the time, and they did make a big difference in how we responded. And keeping the station clear and being ready, because snow would build up and stuff, and it helped with having people there to keep it open and stuff. We had some calls that were quite interesting. We went out on the roads, and like I said, it was nice to respond, and Kevin helped us with getting down the road. We helped Kevin on the road also.
When they pulled out by a fire truck.
Yeah, that'll be the last time that happens. And the fire department had an interesting call yesterday morning, this morning. There in Fremont.
Last night for the ice rescue.
Last night? Yeah, so we had mutual aid all the way over to Sandusky County. And that was, it's been a long time since we've had something that far away.
They were down the other side of rural, came up on Fremont.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah. So they did participate in that, and that was an event that, you know, we, you know, don't get very often that far away, but.
And that was the one that was on the TV today and last night with the Ballville Fire Department. They'd sent two divers into the water. Both of them, their masks froze up and went to free air. So the first one did verify that there was somebody in the vehicle yet, but he had to get back out because his mask was just free flowing. And the second guy did the same thing. So they called them for additional resources and with their masks. So, and I forget which one of our guys went in and hooked it up.
Jenkins.
Jenkins.
So we had a good participation there, I know. And other than the weather event.
How far they could drive to assist somebody else. Wow.
Is that all he had over there, Joel?
You know, that's all he had given me. I don't know if
I have Captain Wolf left this for me. I'll give you guys a copy of this. This is the, looks like the state bid pricing for the new brush trucks that they're looking at. And then the second page there, it gives you the three different brands, the Ram, the Ford, and the Chevy with their pricing. Dodge Ram's $42,713, Ford is $50,675, and the Chevy is $48,500. They look to all have, these are all diesels, which is good. They all have the same warranty on them. And then you flip to the second page. This must be the skid-mounted pump that's going to go in the back of the pickup truck that they're looking at. Looks like base price is $9,700, but I'm assuming there's probably some upgrades to this because they're not going to go, you know, they'll probably have an electric start pump on there, I'm assuming. So this is just some of the packages I think they were providing to us tonight. So and you can see in the pages back are the different options with the different brands. Something to...
Do they really think they gotta have a diesel? You know, they're harder to work on, they cost more money, and diesel costs just as much, if not more, than gas. I don't know if I'd buy another diesel myself, but...
Well, I think the reason, from what I've gathered from it, is everything that they own is diesel over there. You know, and... You know, even when the association bought the Gator, I believe it was either Ron or Joe even said, upgrade to the diesel, the trustees would be willing to pay for the extra, the diesel engine in it. So everything's the same over there.
Well, the difference in that price was probably on all three of them is about $7,000 to put the diesel into it for the upgrade.
That's a you never get it back though, Bo.
Does the diesel end up with a longer life than a gasoline internal
combustion? Depends on how it's run. The gas is a little more acceptable of starting it cold and running the dog crap out of it where the diesel isn't, which 90% of the time they're in the building anyhow. Like for us, for instance, like when we bought the pickup. What I was looking at is the cost of the vehicle with that extra money for the diesel. Plus, we at that time were paying $1.80 more a gallon for the diesel. So over time, you save a lot of money in the diesel, especially if you're keeping it 10 years. But they're not going to go through as much fuel as what we would because that's our everyday driver. That's occasionally going to go out. The diesel will run a lot more miles than the gas will, but if you're looking at something that you're going to try to turn over every 7 to 10 years, is it really worth another $8,000?
That's what I mean.
But the fire department keeps them, they could be 15 years old. So
that's what I look at as the longevity of it on the diesel. I mean, so plus, I mean, this is just, you know, we're obviously not going to make a decision tonight,
right.
And we got to. I think they're just presenting the facts for us. So, Joel, do you need a copy? You want a copy of this?
I'm just writing it down.
You're good? All right, because he gave me a bunch, so.
No, that's fine.
We have that, so.
Are we supposed to hang on to these?
These are our copies, okay. These are our copies, so.
All
right. Lieutenant Wolf, or Captain Wolf, I keep calling him Lieutenant Wolf. Captain Wolf left them for us. Okay, so I think we're officially done with the fire department report. Thank you, Chief Moskowitz.
Yeah.
All right, rec department, Mike's not here. Zoning, Miss Linda.
All right, not a whole lot going on, kind of calm. I wrote some letters today. I do need to send in our paperwork for getting the 11961 canal that I got to send in due minutes, so I have to wait till that's approved. So you approved that last meeting. So I'll get that in tomorrow. I wrote up four violations. 474 Clubhouse, which that is a house that has some, it's abandoned, open windows. So is 11755 Rachel. There's some open windows there also. And then 470 West and 11842 Canal. They're side by side over there at West and Canal. Signed the paperwork for the two pending court cases. The mobile home property at Cooley, something came through today. They're looking at donating 30 of the smaller boats to the Lighthouse Festival at an auction.
Wouldn't that be wonderful?
You know, my biggest concern was, that's in July. And then what happens if they don't get sold? And so I talked to Sandy Bin today, and she is committed to making sure that the boats, those 30 boats, are taken care of, whether they're sold or not.
Oh, cool. If they go to the junkyard, we don't care.
I sent a email to the prosecutor and said, that's suitable. So that means that there will be 30 boats that stay on the property until beginning of July is the Lighthouse Festival.
How many's left?
I don't know. I haven't counted in a while. They loaded a few, not many. I think it's a pretty arduous project.
I think they got rid of, it looks 100 times better down there because they cut most of the brush out.
Yes.
I think that was half their battle, was just getting to the boats. Yeah. I mean, that was the hard part, you know.
Yeah, because it grown up and through and all around. And Yeah, it looks a whole lot better down there. Zoning Board is reviewing Chapter 2 of the Land Use Plan. They actually have done some work this time. I sent a follow-up email to Dollar General because the fences are fixed. They believe that west side along that fence is okay. So their subcontractor says. But I have some pictures. It is hard because there's weeds.
But you can't. But you can't get a mower up there, right?
Well, but that's not their problem.
Well, it has to be their problem because doesn't the fence have to be 10 foot in from a property line?
Mm-hmm.
You can put a fence right on a property line.
Yeah.
So then the adjacent property owner has to come along and simply spray, and have a dead zone.
And the problem is there is it's right next to the ditch.
Yeah.
So, and he's the one that asked for the fence. So I'm still going to say that I don't believe that it's been leveled off enough. He actually did mow about 15, 20 feet in from the back. John did. And then it stopped. So I'll still have a little bit more dialogue with him.
Have the adjacent property owner visited us a few weeks ago?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's John Stavartek.
Okay. All right, so you've had a chance to follow up with him, or you
not
will?
Not since I talked to him last. Okay. I mean, he was in here and we talked. And I have his number.
The trouble is that fence, and it's always going to be a problem.
It's
going to be falling over. I mean, that's just going to be constant.
I never wanted a fence. I wanted a natural fence, but that's what he wanted.
I guess
so it's kind of like we went with what he wanted because he thought it would block the light of the cars. Well, there's no cars pointing his direction.
Hmm. The building blocks them all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they really have no big lights in the parking lot. So I would have much rather, none of the other ones have a fence. So we just kind of asked for a battle that,
constant battle.
Yeah. The wind we have here is, you're right, just.
Well, that's all fresh dirt right there. So it's always going to be moving.
Yeah. So talked to Mr. McMasters today. He's like, I don't want to have any troubles. I'll make sure things are moved. I'm like, okay. Haven't called the county yet. Yeah.
Is he just going to move them, or is he going to get rid of them?
Well, I said, it looks like you are gathering some things behind your fence.
junkyard.
And, yeah, he is going to get the one moved out of his yard. So somebody was supposed to come and get that today. So I'll keep working with him.
All right.
At least he's willing to talk. And
you know, we could call the EPA. He's got trucks in it sitting back there, and he's right next to the swamp there and everything. And if they're leaking, you know,
Haven't had a chance to call the county about the ditch dirt. Otherwise, that's it.
Kevin?
Since we got this problem with the dollar store, and it is a commercial building, when you build a structure, you've got to have a setback so you can maintain the side of the building. Why wouldn't we have it for a fence, too? Because they knew when they put the fence up, there was no way they could mow it. And the property owner can't mow it unless he's got a boom arm mower to reach across the ditch. To be a good neighbor, even though if he did request the fence, they knew that you'd never be able to get a riding mower or nothing beside there to maintain that. And if we're going to have a business district, I don't think it's fair to the property owners that have actual houses that have been there to have to fight a battle then because there's a fence. If it's all flat property, it's no problem. But to have that ditch, I can see what his complaint is on that, why he'd want a fence. I don't know other than garbage may be blowing into his yard.
That would help.
But it just doesn't make any sense that we put one of our residents because the commercial structure went in. And we're late in the project to be able to do anything with the dollar store other than we stay on and make sure that their fence stays up. But I don't know how he gets that mowed unless he pays somebody to come in and mow it. Now, I don't know what he's got back there to mow it, but he ain't gonna have to do it with a riding mower and a push mower. I think the bank's too steep.
Weed whacker. So never get done.
His best bet would be to just have it spray it Roundup and kill it all and just hit it a couple times a year. I mean, honestly, along that side there.
Yeah, but the dirt will roll in the ditch.
There you go. There's the other problem. So
we'd be better off if the fence wasn't there and you just put some bushes there. But I don't know how we'd ever get him to. And then we got the fence there that they don't want to tear it down now. That costs money.
If I ever had to do it all over again, I wouldn't have a fence. Fence in the back, maybe. But it's a commercial area. And he knew that when he built his house. It's not like we changed the zoning.
Wasn't he there before we created the business district?
Mm-hmm. That's been commercial.
All right. Anything else for Linda? Linda, you done?
I'm done.
All right. I like it. We'll move on to Mr. Chapman. Tell us about how you got stuck so many times.
Yeah. So far for 2019 season, we still only dispensed about 16 ton of salt for the snow season, which is really good, and hopefully it stays that way. With Saturday and Sunday's event, we put in 28 hours on just that storm. So we had 56 hours in the storm between the two of us. Really no big damage to anything. It was wear and tear type stuff. Plow leg on the big truck had broke, which with the kind of snow we were pushing and the beating it takes, it either hit a sewer lid or something along the way and broke it, which that can be fixed in-house. It's not that expensive to fix. The roads, the counties were just atrocious. They had one tandem out here, and Mr. Early has it in his mind that there's one truck per district and that's all you're getting. He needs to come live on the east side for a while. You know, he sits over there and he gets all around his neighborhood cleaned up. But no, that's not going to work. It's unbelievable the mess that was out here. And to put one truck out here for the mileage he has, that would be like us plowing what little bit we got with the one ton and hoping we'd ever keep up.
Or a snowblower.
It's not happening. when the wind starts blowing this side of town, it's totally different than that side of town. And I'm sorry, that's the poorest job I've ever seen the county do.
And they haven't been back?
Well, yeah, they were, they actually on Sunday night at midnight, they sent two tandems over, which opened quite a bit of it up overnight. On Sunday, they sent two tandems and a front end loader over to start pushing stuff back. They got about 85% to 90% maybe pushed back. But there's sight distance problems now on how they piled the snow. We got roads that aren't opened all the way to the white line at all yet. And it's
thank you.
And not convincing the sheriff to go to a level 3 was totally ridiculous and non-respect for one, me and Eric and everybody else that was on the road plowing that had to constantly be pushing vehicles out of our way to even get down the road. These people shouldn't have been allowed to drive. Everybody that we stopped and helped should have had a ticket. There were several of them with carloads of people from Oregon. They just come out here to drive around to see how bad it was. Obviously, they found out. And I'm sorry, something I would like to see the board or whatever draft a letter and send to the commissioners on particular to this event and their work staff. And the story I was fed is they got 14 people. Well, when all these other people were retiring, they should have added other people in to get them trained for the events. That's not our fault. That's not keeping good public safety for Jerusalem Township or McCord Road. I can guarantee you McCord Road and everything out around where they live was black asphalt. But out here, it's a different story. You're in wide open country and it takes additional equipment. I would like to see something go to the commissioners on this. It's just ridiculous. It was very unsafe. And for the fire department too, we were working around vehicles that had the whole road blocked off. And we just, it's gonna happen to a minor extent during an event like that, but it didn't matter what road you went down, there was 2 to 3 cars on every road that were stuck, abandoned. There was cars down on Corduroy, they just parked them and got out of them. No way to get around them, you can't plow around them because the edges of the road were too soft, so you couldn't go off the road to go around. It's just, if we'd have done that, you wouldn't have had enough room in here for all the people that have been here. It's just poor.
Kevin, do you have some notes that you and Eric collected based upon your observations from Friday and from Saturday and Sunday?
I didn't write anything up. I actually tried recording with my cell phone, but it wouldn't stay set up in the dash to get anything. But I can go back and write locations of cars that I pushed out, excluding the sheriff's deputy that kept getting stuck trying to go help these people.
Is Keith Early's retiring, isn't he?
Supposed to be, but he's still the
in
guy.
In July.
Oh, he's waiting until July?
That's the county engineer.
Yeah, and that we met the Mike, right? That was Pinooski. The guy. Yeah, he was taking Pinooski. Over for him. Kevin, I personally do not have a problem with the letter. Fortunately, I was not here in the township to see it firsthand. I was actually in Cleveland and saw that firsthand. But I heard it was absolutely horrible. I heard it was bad. I saw pictures of Kuzno Road, which people were complaining that why aren't they out here plowing it? And they don't understand that drifts bad, you know. Yeah. But if the board's in agreements, I would be in agreements to type, you know, to do a letter to them.
Yeah, I would certainly support a letter. Yeah,
I agree with that, Chief.
I don't know if he mentioned it, but I did call the sheriff. I talked to Sheriff Tharp. He was out of the, he was boarding a plane or getting off a plane someplace, some location. So he transferred me over to Captain Lucky, the on-duty officer, and so I did talk to him. I, you know, called him and made it mention to him. I said, Chief, for the public safety, I said, I think we should be at level 3. you know, leastwise in our area. I said, I get it. The whole county's not impacted by this, but we are.
Yeah.
And then I even made one more attempt. I called Toledo 11 News, talked to the news desk, and just asked them to try and put something out. Just please do not come out in this direction. You know, we can't keep up on the roads, and, you know, it's just horrible. So, but I don't know that Toledo 11 did anything either. So.
Chief, if you wouldn't mind, would you mind being involved in that letter with, like, would you be willing to put your name on that letter with us?
Well, sure.
Okay.
Because I called the sheriff, and I called the captain, and, you know, consulted with the deputy several times, and I was glad that the sheriff called me back. You know, I mean, he was out of wherever he was. I don't know where he was, but, you know, he was either on vacation or someplace. But
I called Mr. Early about 4 o'clock Saturday, and got him to send, who was it, Ryan Polinski came out to check it out, because I told him it was terrible out here. He says, what's the matter? I goes, it's slippery roads, it's a whiteout out here. And that's how we probably got the second truck on the 12 o'clock shift there. And I don't know why, Kevin, those drivers don't call up and tell them how bad it is, but they don't. Some of them didn't, I guess. But Mr. Early was informed how bad it was. Yeah.
Well, and the thing was, is they know how bad it is out here when you get that kind of snow. And I'm sure the drivers relayed it. What I'm hearing is Mr. Early's statement was, that's the reason we're getting rid of all these roads. We're only putting one truck in every district. And the truck they actually sent out here, they pulled from an inner city district that doesn't drift and sent it over here.
Yeah.
And we always had two trucks out here.
Were they out here today at all?
Not that I know of.
Because just a little while ago they were out.
Oh, they were.
I don't know if he was salting now or what he was doing.
Because I was shocked that the kids had school today, honestly, because as bad as the roads still were at 8 o'clock this morning.
Well, the snowpack on the road over the weekend, there was no way you could do anything.
Right.
It's until today, really, a little bit yesterday because we had the sun. You got the salt to work a little bit, but the air temperature was just so cold without putting brine supplement with it, it just wasn't going to work. And they were most probably thinking along the lines of what I'm anticipating with some of our roads is once it starts raining tonight, you're going to have about an hour that it's going to get pretty slick, then it's all going to be gone.
Yeah.
And them to come out here and salt the way they do, they're most probably looking 50, 60 ton. So that's quite a bit of money at the current price of salt. So, but no, they, after Tony had called and David called, and I talked to Ryan, and Ryan come out here, he actually borrowed our pickup to go put up some high water signs, and he got stuck in our pickup. He couldn't believe how bad it was. And when I talked to him, I told him on his way out, do not leave Route 2 because you and your escape will be sitting on a side road somewhere.
Yeah.
We had a foot and a half to 2 foot of snow on just about every crossroad out here. It was really, really bad. And the snow was on those roads, for our big truck, it was working it pretty hard getting through it. And with the wind blowing like it is, the whole side of your truck freezes up, the windshield, you gotta stop, let them de-ice a little bit, and go back at it again. So, you know, it's nothing against the crew that they had in the truck out here.
They didn't have enough trucks.
Go on, Dave. I think better than a letter, I think we should go to the commissioners meeting and talk to them personally, the commissioners, and then maybe they'll bounce the Mr. Early and the road crews. I don't know. But sometimes personal is better than just, they'll see the letter and, you know, whatever.
Well, they let you even talk at the commissioners' meeting, though.
Can you request getting on the agenda?
Yeah.
That's what you have to do. That's, so.
I don't know when the next one is.
Because they just met last week, right?
Do they meet every week? I don't know.
You can go on the website. It'll tell you when their next meeting.
Do you want to check and we'll go?
Okay.
Well, sure. You know, and they don't necessarily need trucks out here every event. When you're getting 4 inches or less and no wind, one truck would be fine. One guy could rough through this in a night and keep it fairly clean. But when you're calling for the kind of snow that they had a week's warning to prepare for, and you send one truck out here, then their shifts is noon to midnight and midnight to noon. Well, when they leave here at 11 o'clock to go to McCord Road, then that guy's got to drive back. If there's no repairs on that truck, there's a 2 to 3 hour window where these roads just absolutely really buried in. So it's, they're behind the eight ball with one truck to start right off the bat.
Yeah, they just buried themselves.
They did have an end loader out on Sunday that made a nice impact on pushing stuff even further back. But, you know, I mean, I was glad to see that.
Yeah, the operator and the end loader come in, got right in the end loader, come out here, and he beat both tandems coming out here. He'd already had half a corduroy road done by the time they even got in.
Yeah, they drove it here, believe it or not.
Wow.
So, but of course, the guy they had in the machine, from a car, he's 100 mile an hour for 8 hours. He just goes and goes, and he doesn't stop.
Oh, is that my buddy?
That's him. Yeah, he just goes with it.
He's a worker.
But moving on from that topic, everything went well. We went over the trucks today. Everything's in pretty decent shape. We topped everything off. We'll most probably go over them again tomorrow and just make sure we don't have any plow blades cracked or frames or anything like that, because we did push quite a bit of snow. But as far as I know, everything's ready for the next event. We use very minimal salt, so we're good at that point. The next thing is a question. Have you decided on...
Kevin, before you go on to the next thing, okay, whether we end up personally presenting at the county commissioners meeting or whether we end up sending a letter, either way, I think we're going to have the information documented, that it can either be delivered in a spoken manner or delivered in a written manner. Would you please still proceed with at least making some notes, you know, outline or whatever, so that at least we have your first person observations of what were the issues, where were they, and how bad was it, and any additional information that Chief can give you as well.
Offer, we'll get together first thing in the morning and go to my office and we can type it up.
Yeah, because they were out in it almost as much as I was. Which end up having four calls?
Six.
So every time they got a call, I pulled off what I was doing to try to lead them in.
Yeah.
And
so they didn't get stuck.
And, yeah, and realistically, I'll be honest, there was a good 6 hours on Saturday into Sunday that I never touched one of our roads unless it was on the way to one of their calls. We had to actually pull off of our roads to make sure they got where they needed to go.
You were traveling on county roads.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To get to a
residence. Just respond to our calls.
Conveniently, most of their calls were on county roads. If it had been on township roads, that was
And that's an important item to include, yeah.
And just so you know, those pieces of roads that they give us, some of those were impassable. So that's how bad some of those are affected by the snow. Like, use Brown Road from Nissen. That was blowed in shut for 75 to 100 yards. I couldn't even get through it in the big truck at one point. It took me over an hour to work through a point so I could get a lane open in the middle of it to even get to Turnell Road. And it was one lane for over a day. I'll get with Tony and we'll put together our stuff. And realistically, it didn't matter which one of the county roads you went down. It had a foot and a half to 2 foot of snow. And you could tell if you ever hit one of the roads that they might have been down in the last couple hours, just because the depth wasn't quite as high. And they're all very susceptible to drifting. So
I'm surprised, Kevin, we don't have some people in here tonight.
Well, the problem was most of them weren't our residents out here driving around.
Oh, yeah?
So I overheard a couple of folks listening to one or more messages on the machine.
There were three.
Were those relating to the roads?
Arquette was. There was an Arquette.
Okay, so that may be additional fodder for your notes. Okay.
And the other one was brown and short.
Okay.
Last meeting I presented the 2019 road program. Have we given any more thought on that expenditure?
The chip seal?
Yeah, for $102,736.
Where did I put that?
There it is. What was that, about 102? Sorry.
$102,736 was the county's estimate.
And that was the chip seal and the fog seal later on. They come back, right?
Yeah, usually a couple weeks afterwards.
That's for all of Bono except Main Street.
Yeah.
Yep, Bono.
And that's 3 miles total?
That's what they had it marked off as.
Donovan, Standard, and Yoder. And then Turnell Road, right?
Yep.
That was the other one.
And then all the roads in Bono, it would be Main Street and the very back road, which is Bayview, I think it is. That actually had a chip seal and stuff on it about 4 or 5 years ago. There's one house left there now and one little parking area, so there's very minimal traffic, and the road's still in really good shape, so I didn't put that on there.
That's back of the Baptist church there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right, yeah. Behind it where they got their dumpster. Yep. Sits back there. There's yep. Nothing the matter with that piece of road. So
you're just looking for us to tell you whether or not to proceed getting bids?
I just got to let her know so she can get her paperwork started. So when we're ready to put it out for bid, we got all the documents, because we'll actually have to put it out for bid. The county's not doing that because they'll be bidding Bono Road for us since that's a governmental project. So what I'd like to do is, if we get everything done, find out when they're going to put Bono Road out to bid and put ours out to bid, either just prior to that or just slightly after they list that out to bid. And that way, that would be included with our mileage. Somebody looking at that clump in that area, we might get a better price on ours if somebody's going to do that. What is that? A little over a mile, mile and a half back there.
Yeah.
So, you know, that'd bring them up to almost 5 miles of road. So that may benefit us.
You guys think that's the best way of going, don't you, right now? I mean, for the money wise,
I don't think we could afford
to go with asphalt.
To go with asphalt,
yeah.
No.
Yeah. So,
the only caution is, it's fine to go ahead and get bids, but we really have to plan in an appropriate lead time for communication and alerting the residents and telling them why it's going to be this way, and you know. And give them a chance to ask some questions and give us feedback.
Yeah, we talked about just even walking Bono one day, you know, when especially and just knocking on doors and just letting them know, hey, you know, this is why we're doing this, and the cost savings for the township is huge, you know.
Right.
Well, what we can do a couple months prior to ever bidding this project out this summer. Get it on the website and list all the roads we're going to do and what we're doing to it and the possible delays they may have. Because when they do that fog seal, depending on what the temperature and humidity is, they may be 30 minutes and not be able to get to their house. So when you do the fog, when they do the chip seal, I mean, they're going to spray the tar and there's going to be dump trucks chasing them down the road. They'll be able to drive on it almost immediately. So our real thing will be is when they do the fog seal, there will be some drying time. Otherwise, they're going to get that tar all over their vehicles. Mm-hmm. And no matter how many times you tell them, we're not responsible if you drive them. They want you to clean your cars. Okay. So that would be the only thing. But if we get it out on the website, put it out there that we're going to be doing all these roads, and if there's any questions, we give them this number here, and you guys or me or whoever wants to call them back and explain it, if they got questions, can do that. Then maybe a few weeks prior to a start date, because usually the contractor will give you a build date, then there will be a construction meeting, and after the construction meeting, they usually schedule it so an inspector will be there when they're doing it. We could try that week prior to maybe just send a mailing into that area or something, or we go along and do the press boxes or whatever, or go door to door and people that aren't home hang one on their door that, hey, on this date, between these times, then that way everybody's well notified, and you're still going to have unhappy people when you do it, but you can notify them and answer all the questions that they may or may not have.
Kevin, on that Bunning Road too, we're going to fix that right where the sewer.
I hope so, if we get somebody that's reasonable to do spray patching. It's either that, or if the county's doing a mill and fill, you pay, and usually they stick you with a day of the mill, which it's $2,000 a day for the mill, plus the asphalt. So that would be the other way to do it. Or you could even look at maybe even one of the littler asphalt companies, have them come in because they'll have the grinder on the front of a bobcat, and they'll grind out that 4 or 5 foot wide area, then they'll fill it and roll it. You'll still have little bumps in that area because it isn't perfect. We could look at that option and explore what that cost would be versus.
I think that has to be done too.
I like that idea.
Yeah, that has to be done. We have to do something with that road.
Well, it's not just that road. That and up where Mark lives, there's a bunch east of you where they did the crossovers that are mm-hmm. really rough. Mm-hmm. And I think right down about where Vanessa's and Seckinger's, there's a couple down in that area. Then Rialto Road, we have no houses in that section, but the section between Corduroy and Van Dyke, there's some big ones in there. I mean, they're big bellies when you hit them.
Now you can tell when you're blowing.
Yep.
So you wanna...
No, I'm fine with that, notifying the residents. They should be notified anyhow, because you're in a subdivision, you're going to have a lot blocked off. So, but the contractor's also supposed to have traffic control and maintain traffic in the area.
So they'll block it and keep people off until when they're fog sealing until it's dry.
They're supposed to, because did I give you guys a copy?
It's in the bid here, yeah.
For each road, they got a price.
5,000, 3,000, 1,000. Yeah, I'd say we have them go ahead and proceed with the bid if you guys are all in agreement on
that.
Yep.
And then I think the what Dave is saying too with the all the sewer crossovers, maybe come springtime, we have him send out a bid for, like he said, a small company to come in, and Kevin can take him around to all the spots and say, hey, all right, give us a price to do all of them.
Yeah, smooth them all out.
And you know, that might be cheaper than, could end up being cheaper than having him spray patch it. You don't know.
Well,
or the county to do the mill and fill.
If the spray patcher go back to the way he did a couple years ago when we did it, for an 8-hour day, it cost me $2,000. They went up to $20,000 and something that I figured they could have easily done in 2 days. So I don't know what that big hike was. I'm going to try to talk to the owner yet this winter and see what the deal is with it, but it went up ridiculous. So, but then Dave, give me a number of a guy down there, and I got to try to find that again, but I'm going to try to get a couple different spray patchers, see what the price is. I'm going to ask the engineer's office, because after talking to Sarah, it didn't sound like they were going to do anything for anybody but themselves. But I'm going to see if he would be interested in spray patching those, and we'll get the different prices.
Okay.
So.
Anything else, Kevin?
Yeah, as soon as you give me approval on that $102,000.
We
have to put that.
Oh, we need a motion for that, huh?
Yeah.
So, looking for a motion for Kevin to go out and do bids on the
chip seal program
for 2019, totaling $102,736.
So moved.
I'll second it.
Okay, roll call. Dave Bench.
Yes.
Bo Miller.
Yes.
Mark Sattler.
Yes.
Motion carried.
And for you, Mark, just understand it. We can go out to bid on this, And when all the prices come in, if we're not satisfied with the prices, we can reject everything and not do anything, or wait and rebid it back out. So it isn't that we are locked into spending $102,000. If something comes up prior to us bidding that, that project can be null and void, or we shrink it down to half.
Got it. So, okay, thank you.
So that can change. A couple quick items on the cemetery. We had one full burial on last Friday, and we had a cremation since the last meeting also. And that's all I have.
Okay, anybody got anything for Kevin?
Commissioners meeting, 29th, 11 a.m.
Oh, okay.
January 29th, 11.
Day before Columbus.
A.m. Okay.
Thank you. You want Linda. The phone number? It has a contact number.
Oh, that's a good idea. Great.
What do you got, Linda?
213.
213.
4500.
4500. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Kevin.
Yep.
Okay, trustees reports. Anything on the cemetery?
No, nothing okay. To add to Kevin's report.
Hall rentals, since the last meeting, we've had four rentals, and I have three pending. So we have, we're gonna meet up this week and get everything secured, so. It's starting to be a little busier than it was last year. Last year, it didn't seem like we had that many hall rentals, and this year we're getting a ton of them. So that's all I got on the hall rentals. Dave, anything on the roads? And
no.
Pretty much Kevin.
He pretty well hit everything.
Yeah. All right. Old business. First item here is the brick repair to the hall.
I never got to meet with the lady that day. And I think it's all pretty well stalled with the way the weather is anyhow, but we have to talk to her about probably additional money or something to keep going, I think. So it's it'll be hanging there for a couple months.
Okay. Same with the trees at Route 2 and Decan. I know that's kind of been a stalled project for you. You've been fighting that one.
It sounds like it's going to really happen. At least this Steve, I can't think of his last name, but he's down at ODOT in Oak Harbor.
And,
what?
Last
yeah, week. That's right.
That's a head guy.
And he said that they have a new guy that works with the Edison and that to get these things done, and the Edison has said they're going to do it.
Really?
So perfect. It's fantastic. I never dreamt it would ever work because we've tried and tried over the years, and so.
So they're going to take them all down.
Well, we'll find out.
Trim them up, get them.
Yeah, trim them up better. So we'll find out.
County road transfer paperwork. Did we see anything from them yet on that other than?
I called him again today and emailed him, and I didn't get anything back, so I don't know.
And you're dealing with Keith on that or Mike?
No, Mike.
Mike, okay.
And this is the separate agreement.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, then we had in here the water issues over on Rachel and East. Not much going to happen probably till spring, huh?
No, and we're just working, you know, we leave it in there so we don't forget it, yep. So. And the same way with Brown Road water, you know,
Was that flap, that backup preventer that he talked about in front of Batches there?
That, and then we got to fix it along Turnos there.
Yep.
There's two spots we got to get fixed there.
Yep. We had the motor vehicle tax for the $5 plate fee on there.
When do you want to set that up? We have to have two meetings.
Well, I asked the question is, this is whether we want to levy an additional $5
mm-hmm.
to raise about $20,000 a year.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would like to put that money in a fund for a new building, service building for Kevin, so people, we're just not throwing it in the road bridge, and that way we're getting something started here to get a new building built, because I was also thinking Tony, maybe instead of a wash bay for you, we could put a wash bay over here, maybe sure. Whatever, you know, I'm just thinking, you know, if you guys would get a little bit of money, and the engineer has came up again and said that he would donate some money too for maybe a bay or something, so we'll see what happens. There's whatever. I just mentioned that, Tony, I didn't.
No, I get it.
You know.
Be an option to look at, yeah.
Yeah, it's just an option.
does everybody think that that's a viable alternative for raising additional funds? How will that be received by the constituents?
Probably nobody's going to like it. Nobody likes taxes.
Right, right.
But if we can get it, I think we should. And if we show them we're going to use it for something, we're just not throwing it in at the roads there. Because we need a building. The truck we have now, they had to hit the heating system up just to get it in. Just lucky to fit that in. The next truck probably won't fit. So that's why I'd like to get that, you know, set up to get doing something.
I'm not a big fan of it, but I like the idea you're going with it on earmarking it for something like that. I'm just not a big fan of it because we've just went to the voters here for the cemetery levy. We're going to hit them with two renewals.
We have two of them in 19, and there will be two of them in 20.
That's my only fear is that, you know, whatever. I that's just me. Like I said, I'm only one person. I think I'd feel more comfortable going back at this after we passed all of our levies, which is my personal opinion on this. I'm more concerned about getting these levies all passed, all these renewals passed. And I know that, you know, the fire department levy always goes with flying colors. Roads and bridges, you guys ever had any problems with that one?
No.
Ever really? So,
I just thought if we earmarked it, you know, it's something we can get something, and it's.
It's a tax on the license.
License plates.
Yeah.
Which covers everybody instead of just the property owners.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's shared.
Yeah.
More evenly than just the property owners incurring it all.
That is true. That is true.
And I thought if we showed them they were going to do something with it, that we need to do very bad. You know, we really need a new shop.
Yeah, we looked at new trucks last year when we were down there, and they wouldn't have fit.
No, they wouldn't fit.
Yeah, you're almost going to start going with a custom-built truck almost and to when fit it in there.
If we do,
yeah,
it'd be a custom fit.
Yeah.
You're right.
When I went out 3 years ago, about the only one I could get to fit was a Freightliner.
Yeah. You're right.
Because the Western Stars are just way too tall. And you got into some of them other trucks, and they were as tall as the Western Stars. But Freightliner actually had a chassis that would fit in the building, but you had, instead of the standard tires, you had to downgrade on the tire size and height to make sure it fit good.
Yeah.
Could be done if we have to. It can be done.
In your grand scheme of things for the building, are you talking, just so I can have an idea, are you just talking about adding on to?
Yeah, it'd be a steel building. With concrete up and steel building, because to meet all the federal all the regulations, you can't put a pole. Well, if you do put a pole barn up, you'll have the trusses so close that it'll be just as much as a steel building.
Right, right, okay. Yeah,
we're gonna put something decent up that'll be here for a while.
Yeah, okay. I'd like to think about this one a little bit more. I mean, it
doesn't have to be done.
Yeah,
because we've got till June.
It's June or July. We don't have to have it in by then.
Okay. All right. Number seven, the Lucas County Township Association dinner is January 24th, which is what, tomorrow? No, Thursday. Thursday.
Yeah, Thursday.
Right. Thursday is that. Bono Lighting.
I called a guy yesterday because I don't know if I told you last meeting that they had these 6-foot arms out and it was going to cost $800 for each lighting on the pole, and that's way too much for Bono. So I told the guy that I got the smallest LED light that they'll sell us or put on a pole, and I says, is there something, you know, a shorter one like we would put up at our house or something? All we need is a little bit of light.
Yeah.
So he's coming. He's supposed to be working on that.
Who are you working with on that? Is it the Edison themselves? Or
yeah, Edison.
Okay,
themselves.
So that's who.
It's their poles.
They put poles,
so
okay.
They'll put them up, and yeah, so.
Okay.
And I don't know, there's some meetings down in Columbus for grants, and you know that is a low income area. Maybe there's a chance that we could get a grant or something for that. I don't know. There's not many grants out there anymore, but okay. Possibility.
It's in the EPZ zone, so Mike Davis must pay for it.
Think so?
I'd try anything.
Yeah. Well, they're bankrupt. They don't have any money, right? Right?
I don't care about their business.
Yeah, we don't care.
We just got to get...
Shall we try?
That one goes actually through the EMA. It's how I got monies for the reimbursement of the training that we incur.
That's up in so up in Toledo. Was, then I talked to what's her name?
Yeah.
Kathy Renee now.
Company.
All right. Okay. I talked to Mr. Burrell today about the cooperative agreement. I didn't realize this. He fell just before Christmas and fractured his shoulder.
Oh, no.
So really? He is really backed up. But he said he goes, it's on his desk. He's going to get it to me as soon as he possibly can. He's been trying to recuperate. So
he didn't
elaborate. I just told him get better. And so, yeah, fractured his shoulder. So, all right, I think that's all the old business. New business, credit card policies.
So what was emailed from Mike? From
which was this big one?
What I emailed, yeah. Okay. So I reviewed an auditor of state bulletin that indicated by February 2nd, 2019.
Which one you want us to, I was thinking this is the one I was worried about. You gonna do this one?
So yeah, let me just get to the beforehand. So
okay.
We're required by law by February 2nd of 2019 to have a written policy for the use of credit card accounts. The provisions address the following. The appointment of a compliance officer, I'm assuming that's me, officers, listing out the people authorized to use those credit card accounts, the type of expenses for which their credit card account may be used for. This is all from the legislation. The procedures for the acquisition, use, and management of credit card accounts, presentation instruments to cards and checks, the procedure for submitting receipts to fiscal officer or designee, the procedure for credit card issuance, reissuance, cancellation, management of those cards specifically, the maximum credit limits, and the actions or omissions of an officer employee when it comes to misuse of that card. And these are the minimum policy points that need to be in the policy stated. So that came from the auditor.
It's all in that book, too.
Yeah. So it came from the auditor of state.
So, Joel, you incorporated all of these points into your draft.
So the Ohio Township Association gave anyone a sample credit card policy based on these.
This is it?
Yeah.
Which one's that?
So
that's the ones with the blanks.
And then you made this one up.
So I took their policy and filled in the blanks.
Okay.
But only removed any mention of home rule type incidences, which you'll see that on the sample one that you have in your pile. It's the one with all the blanks.
Yeah.
Right? So it'll say in their sample, if you are a home rule township, this should apply to you. If you are not a home rule township, right? Does that make sense?
Right, but you're saying that we are not.
Correct.
Home rule. Okay.
That's right. So, yep. Now, I took it. I plugged in where it says Jerusalem Township. And, of course, the other things that I plugged in would be what we already approved, which was the transaction amount. And then, of course, what to do if you are asking for something over that. Do we have one more meeting? We have a meeting in February before the 9th? I think we do. What's February? Second Tuesday.
12th.
Okay, maybe not.
12th and the 26th.
Well, I don't think
so this has to be done.
Well, I don't think they're going to arrest us if we do it on the 12th.
Yeah.
However, we are discussing it now, and if you had the chance to review it over our little snowy weekend. But yeah, it is very broad. If you read the one from the OTA, it just defines things, and then it also talks about obviously all those points that the auditor of state wants us to acknowledge.
I did have a question about section 4, paragraph G, the return of credit card to township. I was fine with the first paragraph. The second paragraph
additionally
talks about if the fiscal officer retains possession of the credit cards.
Yeah.
Does that, how does that apply?
What it would, you mean G, return of credit card to township?
Yeah, it's
he authorizes your upon
resignation. It's the second paragraph under G.
The one I got right there. We're all worried about that one.
That's not in.
It's not in here. It's not in this one.
Yeah.
Is that the old draft? Look at this draft, though. It's not in that one, I don't think.
Oh, you got more than one?
The one I printed off.
Yeah, that was the original one. You must have emailed us, and you took it out. Yeah, the one that's printed right in front of you.
Yeah. That's okay. That's why I give you the one.
So it doesn't pay to do my homework on that.
Yeah, me neither.
The weekend.
Well, sort of. It got you to this point. because it doesn't apply to us. I'm not holding the
card. Oh, it does? Okay.
So he took that out.
He took it out.
Yeah, he took that section out.
So,
what I was wondering about is, does the policy have to say who the cards are issued to?
Yes.
So that's the fill-in on the last page.
Where's that document? Give me that thing back, Bill.
This one?
The highlighted paper.
This one?
Nope.
This one. Sorry.
Yeah, it was real papers. No, that's fine. So, by law, it says... The officers or positions authorized to use a credit card account, the appointment of the compliance officer, the types of expenses for which a credit card account may be used, the procedures for the acquisition, use, and management of credit card account presentation instruments related to the account, including cards and checks. Very wordy. Procedure for submitting itemized receipts to the fiscal officer. The procedure for credit card issuance, reissuance, and cancellation, how to get the card back or give it to, or if it's lost, stolen, whatever. And then our maximum credit limit, which we already established at the reorg meeting. It seems like it's something we did every year.
Yeah.
And the acts of omission, what to do when somebody does something they're not supposed to.
And you have that all covered in here, Joel.
Yeah. The Ohio Township Association took it upon themselves to have their... people do it. So
going back here on Exhibit A,
okay,
we are going to, this is not every time they use a credit card, this is just
for the initial setup of the policy.
So Tony, he's the authorized user, it's approved by
the board. So like the reorg meeting, I would imagine, right? This would be in your adoption. We are readopting or acknowledging we're going to keep the township credit card policy for Ohio Revised Code.
And then, so he signs it, we approve, the board approves it, authorized credit card account.
That'd be Krogan.
Right.
Tractor Supply, whatever lines of credit.
And then Exhibit B, him and Kevin and whoever's using the credit card will have to sign that they understand all this and they are considered an authorized user.
Anyone that, and uses that shows up on Exhibit A or is carrying a card.
Now, this is completely out now?
Right, because I'm not retaining possession of the credit card.
Okay, well, I thought that this should go in there instead of that.
Okay, well, let's talk about what you have, because...
Yeah, the bottom part is out, but I was going to... That's what I was going
to... So what Dave gave to us is this... And you're saying that bottom paragraph doesn't apply?
Yeah, it doesn't, because that's limited home rule. But this one here, I was going to put in for this one.
The second option permits...
Yeah, the second option.
The second option permits a fiscal officer of a township that has not adopted limited home rule each month to present to the Board of Trustees the details of the previous month's credit card transactions. Then the chairperson of the board must sign... testation stating the board reviews the credit card transaction details. So you're acknowledging that you signed all the checks, or you acknowledge that you looked at what was spent on the credit card.
Yeah, well, I just thought that would fit in there better.
I agree. So
see that came out of my book here.
It could put it accomplish in that easily by just including a credit card statement as part of the review.
You mean like a form that you, a summary page that you attach with all the receipts, with the statement to the fiscal officer who then gives it to you guys with the check waiting to be signed.
Right.
And then all that is just a signature, chairman of the board.
Yep. So this is a credit card statement that shows for each card.
Yeah, it would just be a separate loose piece of paper. Yep. And then each department head has them to turn in. And it would help me, obviously, too, if I'm missing receipts, that I don't have to wait till the statement, or helps them track along the way so they get out there January and they write when they come back to the shop or whatever, I went to whatever, and this is the dollar amount. And versus just holding on the receipts and then turning them in, which is what happens, which is fine. They're giving to me as we go.
Where's my new copy at then?
Everybody, I don't see it. Where is that?
This is my old one I brought from home.
Right, exactly.
No, it's not here. I don't have one.
Everybody printed for everybody. What's in that pile?
No, it's all fun status stuff and everything. That's why I'm lost.
Well, oh, no, you're here. These.
Here it is.
Okay.
Got buried in there.
So, anyways, let me look to see if that paragraph,
this one away.
Is.
What do you want? Oh, you want that old one?
Yeah, I don't want you to have any more.
So you want that page? There you go.
So you're going to put a piece of paper with the statement and the check that every one of the trustees got to sign off on that they acknowledge that they've seen it?
Just the chairman of the board.
Just the chairman.
According to what Dave brought tonight.
If he signs the check, isn't that enough? Because you should look at the bill before you sign the check.
Well, the thing is, I'm not sure that we get the... Do we get the credit card statements?
Yeah.
I mean, we.
Yeah.
No?
What do you mean we?
Yeah, you get the we get the credit card statement when it's hooked to the check.
Each person that's named on the card gets a statement, then I get the master's statements for each card from the bank. Yeah.
So really, you're kind of doubling your work there, Joel, because we're already getting the statement attached to the check.
Well, right. So when I summarize when I get the receipts from the department head, before I even think about printing off a check, I review all charges and make sure that I have them. What I don't have is an explanation of what they were for. And maybe that's what Dave printed off to bring.
Yeah, because I'm saying the details from the details. Previous month's credit card.
But you have a detail, you have a receipt, but it is not maybe a sentence that says maintenance supplies, a truck repair. Even though if you look at a receipt, it's usually a piece of paper. But that's not for me to... That's what this is stating and what your concern is.
It was in the book for the Ohio Township Association.
So basically you put together a report that says... That way if we know Kevin went to Advanced Auto Parts...
Boom, it's right in front of you.
And it's going to say what it was for. That's the more detail you want. That he bought it for.
They want it. It was in the book. That's what they want.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what he printed off.
It's not exactly me, but.
I mean, that's what we're getting at there is that you know that he didn't buy it for his truck at home. It went to this truck.
Yeah, here. A lot of stuff we buy, like I just ordered a bunch of windshield wipers and stuff like that. I would just list that as shop supplies. It doesn't tell you where it goes, it's just miscellaneous shop.
Right.
But you'd have a receipt to back up. You know, transaction.
Any of my vendors that I normally deal with, you're going to get a statement from them, and I'm not going to see, well, I'll see the statement from Advanced Auto. It comes into the shop. Usually I mark it for roads, or if it's a specific part, I'll put F550, F250, Workstar, or if it's a tractor or something. If it's something that I want to keep track of and track and put in the file that I know that I just changed the starter on the F-250. Well, I'll make a copy of it, keep it, I'll put it in the file because that's that truck's record. So when I go to sell it, here's all the stuff that I've done with it. That's how I'll do it. But normally I'll just mark the department to be charged to, and that was what I normally did.
So that's a line of credit at Advantage Truck. We're talking about a credit card. Which is different. So I'm mentioning a line of credit. So this is, we only have three credit cards. Tony's, Kevin's, and Dave's, or the trustee's card, whatever. It's in somebody's card. Name. That's it. Treasure Supply is a line of credit, but there's a card. But that doesn't mean anything because you can go into Treasure Supply and charge it to the client. Gladio Lumber, I mean, it's a line of credit and a business completely different than this. And to acknowledge what you brought, Dave, is the left section four, right before the exhibit, is exactly what you brought.
It's talking about Article 2, Section 4.
The very last page, yeah.
Yeah.
The board shall review the credit card account transaction detail, which they would if they signed the check. And the chairperson of the board shall sign a attesting to the that they reviewed it.
Yep.
And so...
It's there.
Honestly, you're doing it by signing the check. And if you're the chairman of the board...
You just screwed us up. I mean, you know, we had that other one, then you changed us on this, and so I'm okay with it now, but I really studied the other one real hard.
The only thing that we'll have to make sure that happens is that on a credit card payment, whoever the chairman of the board is at the time has to sign that check.
Which can be in the reorg meeting.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so, like, if I'm not a town and you guys get a check, and theoretically you two can sign it and cash it, but with me being the chairman, I'll have to sign it before it can go out. According to your policy.
Yeah, we'll look at it later. Because you can approve a payment.
Yeah.
Sign a check to people. So, yes.
All right.
Does it have to be... Yeah. So, anyways...
So then, do we also have to figure out who goes on Exhibit A?
We fill that in later. I mean, this is just the policy.
Okay.
Is from the OTA sample, this was just a chart. Well, we just wrote it in, right?
So let me ask you one more question about that, going back to Exhibit A.
Seems like we're in court here.
So, for example, we the chief signs that he's a user, but Jim Wolf uses the credit. Does anybody in the fire, I know that the chief has had to give the credit card to people to run up town to get parts. Mm-hmm. Do they all have to sign it too? Whoever?
Yeah, whoever.
So we'll have to make sure that...
That's what the law is stating we need to do is... Because with that comes repercussions if it's used fraudulently, and then there's meeting acknowledgement. And if it's used fraudulently, then what's the repercussion?
We're almost going to have to put that into your packet, like your hiring packet. If we hire them, they, you know, because you never know, it'd be so hard to keep track of that.
Would be really.
So then who has to complete an Exhibit B? Is it only the three individuals?
The people
who
that
carry
have
the card?
Permission to.
No, that would be everybody that...
Well, this speaks to having received a card to carry on my person.
Yes, exactly. Acknowledgement of the... And then the Exhibit A is who's going to use the card.
So, take trustees. So, if Dave is carrying the card, Dave has to sign Exhibit B, but all three of us have to sign Exhibit A.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's just a housekeeping list is A.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Because this isn't asking from, and that doesn't state by the law that you have to sign or you approve this list. Right?
Right. All right.
Yeah. Seeing as that Dave didn't get a chance to review the new version, I don't have a problem with waiting again.
I'd like to read it over real good. I had the other one all down and all marked.
Sorry. You gotta get over it. But we're okay with being a few days late if we spent the time to do this correctly.
Yeah, that's why I
feel. And honestly, we had a good discussion, so there's going to be nothing that's going to say that we're
involved in that. I don't think there's any problem.
Okay, we moving on from that then? We're going to wait till next meeting and get that taken care of so we might
get it
over.
Real good.
Okay, next new business. I got a call from Mr. Saucedo on Centerway and Erie View. And obviously those are the old paper roads. And he was inquiring about the grindings that are back here. I guess he said the last few years he spent $1,100 at Nissen's. They dump a pile there for him and then he hand shovels it into the thing there. Wanting to see if he could get grindings. And I said, well, I don't think it would be an issue getting the grindings. Because that's what they're there for the use. the question was that something that we could we haul a load down to him in the small dump and dump in a pile there for him? Or no?
I don't think we better do it. I think we could give him the grindings, but he better find somebody to haul it.
Could we load them for him? Could we put him, dump it into the dump if he gets a dump truck there?
I don't see anything wrong with that.
Technically, we shouldn't, but we can.
Okay.
Yeah, we can, yeah. But we shouldn't haul them there because everybody will be asking that.
Okay.
Well, for one, if we haul them down there, we're hauling them on the private property, which you're dispensing taxpayer money for that.
Okay.
I don't have a problem because nobody's going to come here with an excavator or loader and break the pile apart to start with.
Mm-hmm.
But it would have to be not necessarily when he was ready, it would be when it was convenient for us to load it.
Right.
And he would have to make arrangements to be loaded.
Okay.
That's the case.
That's fine. I'm sure he'll be happy with that. My next question regarding this is, I know them are paper roads. Them are paper roads. And he said that them, and I don't know, he was telling me that up to about maybe 8 years ago, those roads used to be plowed.
It used to be plowed because he had a group home back there.
With the special needs kids.
And with the special needs. That was the only reason it was ever plowed. And it, the way they had it, and this would have been back, oh God, when Ray Cedos and Perry and them were here, when that ceased to happen or that individual was no longer there, we no longer went on it.
Okay.
It was something they agreed to do at that point. But our big thing was then we had people saying, well, you plow that down there and that's not a township, why can't you plow the dike?
Right. Okay.
And there's parts of the dike that I wouldn't even think about going up on because they're so narrow. Well, like the section when you cross the hump where Keith Tuttle built his house back in there on the fire department, it's fine going in at Corduroy and Van Dyke, but when you come to the other end, it's just a big drop off. Well, sitting in either one of the trucks, especially in the snow, you can't see either side or the bottom of the hill until you're already committed.
Okay.
So, but yeah, it used to be plowed because of the special needs.
Okay.
I don't even think Kevin was plowed since I've been in, has it?
No.
That's been quite a while.
He said it had been, he thought at least 8 years, so. But
it's most probably been 10 to 12 years.
10 to 12.
Yeah.
How many, just ask anybody know off the top of their head, how many, I know there's a ton of paper roads in the township, but how many of them are actually used? Are there a bunch of paper roads that are, kind of like a paper road runs along Mike Zeech's house there, but it's nothing, it's just a swamp. I mean, are there... There can't be too many of them, is there?
There's like six or seven of them
okay.
that there's actually houses on.
Okay.
A lot more unused.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. Okay. All right. Frostfest for the February 2nd, the Oregon City Schools Foundation.
There's still eight tickets left if we want to go.
Do you got the cost on them, Dave? Do you know?
I think they're $36 a piece. Yeah, I left the paperwork home, I think, but I think it's $36 a piece.
I don't know if I'm in town even that weekend.
That's a Saturday night, right?
Yeah. It's up at Michael's there.
Yeah.
Good meal, and they have a silent, or how do you call it, silent auction? And they got some really good stuff up there. I've been there before, and she said there was, Amy Hansen said there was eight left yet. So I was curious.
Is it the price for a couple or for each
per ticket?
Each ticket,
yeah.
Really good meal though, and you get to meet a lot of people. You get to there's a lot of the teachers are there and stuff like that. The school administrators.
It's a fundraising event for scholarships. So.
Yeah, real good thing to go to. So I just wondered if we wanted to do anything.
Now is that something that we do through the township or is that?
No, we do it ourselves.
Personal, yeah.
Personal,
okay.
Yeah. But it's kind of good PR. And
I'll have to check my schedule. I don't have all the volleyball tournaments on my phone yet.
Yeah, all right, if I get back to you?
Yeah, okay. Try and get back to me tomorrow morning if you could, that way.
Okay.
Because I imagine there's only eight of them left, so.
Yeah. All right. Well, we pretty much covered number four there, the issues from the past storm with the snow removal issues. So is there anything else that, Dave, you wanted on that? I mean, we pretty much covered all that in Kevin's report.
Yeah, it's pretty well got covered.
Okay, number five here is the Lucas County Auditor's Report. Mark, this is the thing that you sent me earlier today.
So Malie Douglas is the R&D specialist from the auditor's office. And every year they put out an annual report. There's two versions. One is a very long version, about 300 pages. And then the other one is a 12 or 15 page, mostly photos. Last year they highlighted the Toledo Museum of Art. This coming year they want to highlight cities, townships, and villages of Lucas County. So she contacted us, and they'd like to include Jerusalem Township in both of their publications, and they're asking that we submit some photos or images and some summary information that falls under their description, which is notable events, locations, and or persons that make up the cities, townships, and villages. I did talk with her this afternoon. The report's basically about the financial health of the county, and you know, as I talked with her, I said, well, you know, our culture is really it's an agricultural community with a lot of fishing type recreation, and so if we can get our hands on some photos of things that we would like to appear. In that, and any profiles of any events, any individuals, any noteworthy locations. General. What's that?
Dollar General. And Koozie's place.
Yeah, you don't have Dollar General just in any community.
They're in everyone.
Right.
Well, you know, the new park, we should emphasize, and, you know, Maumee Bay Park. Mm-hmm.
And the birding events.
Yeah, the birding events.
That's big.
We are the birding event almost. Yeah.
We're going to have to change our logo, the birding capital of the world.
Yeah, there you go.
We got the birds in
there. Yeah, we do have them in there.
Yeah,
we don't have anything new with the, nothing new on the fire department, new equipment, nothing, like, really new.
New radios.
Everest. Yeah, yeah.
It's not very exciting.
No.
So I did talk with her. Initially, she had asked for a response by February 4th. I talked with her, and I said, you know, really, if we don't already have photos, pretty much all you're going to get is snow.
Yeah.
And she said their cutoff date is probably in the spring. I promised that I would check back in with her on February 4th and let her know how we were doing, but that's not a hard deadline. So we can have more time. So
okay.
I guess I'd like to ask if there's anybody that has, you know, say has access to some photos or images that you think would be really nice to include there. We can certainly make mention of the Biggest Weekend Birding, the Maumee Bay State Park, the Howard Marsh, and if there's
Fire Department 75th.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Okay,
there we go.
Okay.
You've got Ken
Grosjean.
Oh,
he takes
pictures.
Yeah. Oh, my, it's in the archives.
And he lives on North Curtis.
Yeah, lives in
the township. Where does he live at, North Curtis?
There's apple trees.
Oh, okay. I know.
And then you've got Maggie Dandar, who took a lot of pictures. I know she still has it.
Yeah, Maggie, yeah.
And then Amy Hansen.
Do you think she took some, too? Or?
She's taking pictures all the time for the schools now. I don't know if...
Yeah, but you could pick.
We had the Lighthouse Festival too.
Oh, right, right, good.
That's right. That's in
that, cause that's
Jerusalem Township.
That is, yeah.
And Kids Day.
Boys and Girls Club, Barefoot to the Beach is a big event.
Okay.
Jim, you think you could go out in the boat and
fireworks.
Take some pictures of the lighthouse for us?
Yeah, the fireworks event.
Fly the drone out there. It's quicker.
If you go to some Facebook pages, you'll find photos like of Howard Marsh, because people put those on there, you know, so you can find a couple good nature photos or...
Yeah.
Even the survey.
You can reach out to the Metro Parks. They, you know, they've capitalized on some photos that were already captured from birders and stuff like that out there.
You can get the best of them from it.
Okay.
Show a bunch of dead ducks and geese.
Is that all you got on that, Mark?
Yep, that's it.
Okay.
That's it.
Last item, I didn't get it on the agenda because I didn't have it till I got here tonight, but we got a letter from the Ohio Department of Natural Resources, and it says, in January of 2018, the ODNR notified your office that, as required by law, the ODNR has preliminary identified Lake Erie coastal erosion areas within the territory under your jurisdiction. And it's provided as the Ohio Revised Code. These are areas that are anticipated to be lost by Lake Erie related erosion within 30-year period if no additional approved erosion control measures are completed within that time. And it's got, we have some parcel identification numbers, which I don't know the parcels, but there's three of them here. So I think probably pass this on to you. You can look up the parcel numbers and
do the map pictures.
Yeah. So, it just says encloses this letter. You'll find a list of parcels within your jurisdiction affected by coastal erosion. And then there's books containing the final coastal erosion maps and data. Very shortly, will be delivered to the public viewing locations that are currently. House the older 2010 preliminary map. So that was dated January 10th of 2019. So I guess I'll pass this on to Linda.
I'll put copies on your desk.
What's that?
I'll put copies on your desk.
So thank you. So, anything, anybody else got anything for new business? Anything pop up? All right. Chief.
Did you have the opportunity to go through the information? There was some time sensitive.
It was pretty skimpy, so you should go over that.
I'll just be real quick.
Okay.
Just to give you some idea of where we're at. We're at 28 runs so far this year. That's huge. The 92 Ford Econoline is posted in GovDeals. The more important one that I wanted to make sure that we get across tonight is I have two estimates for what we need to do to complete the, you got an envelope there?
There's nothing in it, I pulled it out. Yaki and Dimec.
Chief, our questions.
Have you looked at those two?
We've got questions on those two estimates because they're so different. And it looks like the scope of each is different. So our question for you, the first question is, number one, do each of those estimates meet your minimum requirements, or what is it that is on your list that has to be done, and do those estimates take care of it?
Yes. This estimate included the installation of a hot water heater that would be an additional hot water heater that would be located in the truck bay. Okay. This one has the same hot water heater, the additional scope at the bottom here as a separate line item. So you would have to add the hot water heater
and
to the main scope of work here. In this scope of work though, in Yaki's scope of work, he's gonna run a hot water line from our existing hot water heater that we have in the building and run that a water line to the location that we need for the extractor. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then he also provided us a competitive price on the installation of adding that individual hot water heater.
Okay.
So that's what made the two bids comparable.
Can I see them real quick?
The other option one, the option of relocating the plymo vent is included in his entire bid here, but he lined it out separately. The plymo vent was an additional job that I'm concerned about being compliant with BWC because we have some vehicles that are not connected to the PlymoVet system. That's why we need to move the PlymoVet system in order to be compliant with the emissions that we have when we fire up a truck. On the new trucks with the DEF component to them. They do not need to be hooked up to it because they don't provide the CO emission concerns. But the way we have our trucks positioned right now, our dive truck is not connected to a Plymo vent, so we're not compliant. So the
but each quote has that Plymo vent.
Each one has
it. Okay.
Yeah, and there was quite a bit of difference.
So
there was.
The Yaki quote was quite a bit less.
Yeah, let's.
Yaki was performing all of the work himself, both the plumbing and the electrical, and the Dymac was teaming up with TAS Electronics or TAS Electrical to do the electrical component, and then they were doing the piping component.
Cover
as
sure.
As well as moving that.
You need a pen?
No, 9,000. $884. So the Yaki electric one come out to with, if we did everything, the tank, everything was $9,884, and the Dymac one was $15,681. So,
both contractors were provided the same scope of work. The only difference is I could go back to Dymac and ask them to rebid, take the hot water heater out, the hot de-escalation out, and run a water line from our existing hot water heater to the location where we need it.
But if Yaki's got in there to put in the ventless heater as a separate price and the Plymo vent as a separate price, if you add those onto his other total,
yeah, we're
still tell you whether he's cheaper than Dymac.
Yeah, he's a lot cheaper. One thing I do read here in this, and I've heard this about these, Chief, and he's saying Yaki is not recommending the tankless water heater because it needs to be flushed once a year and becomes a higher maintenance years down the road. For the tankless.
He shared the same concern.
Yeah, and I've heard that before, too, about the tankless one. So
we just switched them at work.
Yeah.
They're the greatest things since sliced bread.
They use them in Europe all the time. I mean, that's the predominant hot water heaters in
the newer
Europe is what I've heard.
Better.
And I just installed one at home, and now the one I put in was only $630, mm-hmm. you know, for mine, and I like it. I mean, but when I'm using well water, and I'm only on... Yeah, I've only had it for a month.
Okay.
So I don't have anything to compare it to.
Well, I mean,
we got to get
the budget first, don't we? Water over there.
Right.
It
I was
necessarily justify it. The Enzo justify it.
You mean in terms of permanent appropriations? Is that what you're asking?
Well, yeah, total everything. I mean, or no.
I was just going to say, I mean, given a choice, I'd rather spend less money than more money.
Right. Yeah.
Especially if you feel that each of the bid, the lower bid takes care of your minimum requirements.
I believe it does.
On running from the existing hot water heater, is he going to put a return line on that so it percolates so you get instant hot water? Otherwise, you're going to fill... your washing machine, yeah. But not hot water.
That is not in there. I mean, that would have to be an addition that we would have to ask for a request for. I'm not familiar with. I mean, I don't know how it works.
Yeah, it'd be a lot of cold water in that line before the hot water starts to flow.
And this is totally just because you have a grant that this is required to be completed, or
because yeah, we
we're
have
getting the extractor. We already got the money. We ordered the extractor.
Right. So, we are. There is a time sensitive.
Right.
Did we get the extractor yet?
No,
it hasn't showed up yet. I knew you last time you said it was any time right. You thought it was coming. So.
We have like 90 days. Right.
How much was...
Not from the time we get it, from the time we got the check. Right. So the we got the check in December.
Yeah.
So we have 90 days in order to get it. You can ask for an extension, which we ended up having to do that for the compressor anyways.
Well, if I understand the Yaki correctly, the optional, and this is, and you summed everything.
Yep.
For $9,800, which is still two-thirds of the Dimet quote, that would include a tankless hot water heater. Which would eliminate the issue of all that long line that ends up carrying cold water. So mm-hmm. you'd have a tankless hot water heater very close to the extractor. So
correct.
You wouldn't have an issue at that point.
Yeah.
We're just asking the plumb hose bib so we can use it to clean here.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a good idea too. Yeah.
So we just had an extra hose bib out there so we can use hot water now.
That was in there too. That was the instruction because the it appeared like the best place to locate the tankless hot water heater is above our water supply now. And then it was just running over and then dropping down, but it was dropping a valve down right above the hose rail.
So you need us to approve this tonight?
That one I do, yeah, that's well. Okay.
And then the other question was, this is included in your 2019 appropriation
budget. It's part of the building improvements, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I move to approve the bid from Yaki Electric. Did you want everything, Chief? Did you want the tankless water? You want tankless water?
I'd like the tankless water heater. I still.
So all right.
Like I said, I'm really happy with mine, but
okay.
I believe it's the right thing.
All right. So I move to approve.
That tankless hot water heater is the exact same model as the one that Dimec had bid.
Okay. I move to approve the Yaki Electric Service bid for a total of $9,884 for the, I'll call it the extractor hookup, water lines, electric for the new extractor, and tankless hot water heater in the fire station.
Also. And that included the relocation of the Plymo vent, is that correct?
Yep, and the relocation of the Plymo vent, sorry, yep.
Yeah. I'll second that.
Okay, roll call. Dave Bench?
Yes.
Bo Miller?
Yes.
Mark Settler?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Take it down. Next thing I have, this is not something we need to act on, but I was able to get the information from Stress Care, and they have provided a quote. I was under the understanding when we had received, when we used Workplace Resource or whatever.
Yeah, EAP, yeah.
That company. I thought there was like just a yearly subscription for X amount of dollars and then that provided the service for everyone. This
is
I'd like you to look this over. This is different. It appears that there's fees for each time. It could be cheaper if we don't have people using it, but that's not the whole point.
But there's no limit. It's fee for service.
That's what it was.
With a discussion when you had to go out for the call, the discussion was, do we have any information on our usage level with Workplace Resources that we could then apply to these fees to get some ballpark estimate of our this fee for service and at our historic usage rates, what would we be looking at?
You had a report, didn't you?
It really doesn't come to me. It came to the trustees because I'm not the employer.
I never remember.
It was just a view of.
I think I got it. It like wasn't much. It never got used
three
very much.
Used the
I'll
thing,
have to dig and see if I can find it.
Okay.
There's no information of who used it. No information of
because the rates are very different. Whether it's counseling, right, whether it's
right.
Are they going to provide on site?
They do. They have a group for incident stress debriefing.
It says
on
site crisis response intervention when critical incidents. $170 per hour.
24/7, 365.
It doesn't say on there, but I'm assuming that it will. I mean, they know what they're getting into, so okay. Well, we'll look this over. I mean, this is very critical that we get this.
Put that information together for that purpose.
Could you make us copies of this when you get a chance, Chief, and throw them in our...
Just take that one. It's on my computer.
Okay.
I just wanted to, I just looked, we only paid workplace resources in 2017, $1,200.
And that was probably the flat rate.
That's what I thought. I thought it was a flat rate fee that provided that open-ended service.
I say, last year, I don't ever remember seeing any reports come across that that's why they went under. Well, probably they were charging too little, so. Okay, we'll make copies of this, so.
Okay, next thing I have is, I have billing information for a third-party billing. I'd like to provide that to you. This is one company. This is Acumen Billing. City of Toledo is using Acumen. The Lucas County EMS is using Acumen. And I will survey the fire chiefs. I have a fire chief meeting on Wednesday, and I'll survey who else is using them. Okay. The other one was Great Lakes Billing out of Cleveland, but I've not contacted them and asked for request of information. She called me today, Acumen, and so in that, hopefully I didn't read that information thoroughly today. I have it on my email, but my understanding is we would be, they would, their fee would be 7% of anything that's taken in. When I talked to MediCount, and this was 3 or 4 years ago, it was 12% at that time. So that's quite a bit of difference. MediCount had some other, they were trying to do some other attractive things, like if we needed computers in order to enter in our data and all that stuff, they would purchase them and then they would just up that fee a little bit to maybe 15% until those computers are paid, then it would go back down again.
So there's no out-of-pocket for us.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
And this basically.
And she'll come out and do a, or we can go to their location and they would do a presentation to us as well.
So this is, you guys just send in the information and they handle the rest?
Correct.
Basically.
But there's, the township will have to go a little bit of, we're not a Medicare, Medicaid recipient or client or I don't know the terms
approved
that you use.
Provider.
Approved vendors. Yeah, so there are steps and they will walk us through and take us through all of that to make it seamless, to make this happen very quickly.
Okay.
That's what I have so far.
All right. Very good.
So I'd rather you look it over first, and then you call me and say, "Hey, let me explain this to you." That's
okay.
What I
we'll
was
do.
Hoping for. That was. Our new fiscal officer paid our firefighters for the December run period, and we had about 3 or 4 runs that didn't get calculated in there because we went right up to the end of the year on the runs. One of the firefighters was sharing a concern or discontent about that because it was a slight change of it, and I mean, I believe I understood why.
I assume those will roll on to the first payroll in the new year.
It would have been it would have rolled over into the 2019 payroll. Where, in my simple mind, I'm just trying, I like it that we're trying to keep everything in 2018, stayed in 2018 and 2019, but consequently it made a fifth period of pay or something.
In this year.
In a sense, so that's.
Oh, okay, so you had a short payroll period.
Well, you didn't.
To catch.
No, it would have been an additional quarter of pay. So you were paying fourth quarter in the following year. You're always behind.
So it made 5 quarters in
all. Okay. In 2018.
Okay.
But
So that's a one-time change.
Yeah. And from surveying through the visiting fiscal officer, everybody has a cutoff, and they just pay it at, before the end of the month.
Yeah, okay.
To keep it in the year, so.
So that won't happen again this year?
Yeah, I'd like to continue that. That makes a lot of sense.
We won't have a 4-5 quarter.
No,
that was just a one time.
Yeah, but it would keep 18 in the year and not do that. And Plus, when it comes to appropriations, temporary appropriations, right, you don't have that payment in the first quarter of the year. You take care of that in your in the year that the money's appropriated, right?
Okay. Right. Okay.
So I just explained to him that I would share what his concern was. According to the individual, he had already potentially did some of his anticipation of his tax return, and so it threw him off a little bit, money-wise.
Okay, all right.
That's same thing.
Well, he can all,
I mean, said
he,
okay.
Sorry, tongue-in-cheek comment. If he doesn't want the money, he could always donate it back.
There you go. I just wanted that to be on the record that I did express that back the best I could to do it. You know, obviously, he knows he could have been here at a meeting and talked directly. So, but I think we
have a legitimate reason for truing it up and trying to keep the expenses from a given fiscal year in that fiscal year. Okay,
I appreciate that too. That we're doing that. Thank you.
That's nice, but again, if you're going to do changes in the payroll, just let your employees know they're going to you're going to change payroll, because people may have that saved there. Oh, I'm going to spend it here, and then now we're going to really, you know, you still have the money, but again, it's historically it's always been
timing is different
in that first week or that first pay of the next
year,
first trustees meeting, the first of the January. So again, anytime again, people don't like change. It's a four-letter word.
Yeah, you're right.
Again, that's where the problem came.
Good enough. Good
next
point.
Thing I wanted to offer is I have Captain Wolf here, and he was going to present.
Did everybody get a?
Yeah, I actually threw the other ones over here.
Yep.
So what you see in front of you is just a real. The first page is a real quick breakdown. Got quotes from the three major auto dealers. All similar model vehicles, 1 ton. The general consensus going from the 3/4 to 1 ton across was about an $800 upgrade. Just the benefits of the payload and capacity alone justified $800, at least in the officers' minds. All the vehicles offer similar warranties. Obviously, there are a few other caveats to that with rust intimidation and all that stuff, but what you see in front of you, the Dodge quote came in at the cheapest. The problem that we have, then you'll see that at the bottom, that's on our 2018 model year pricing. The 2019 bid pricing has not been published yet, so they were unable to continue to complete that quote. The vehicle that they did quote for us is very similar to the one that we want to go with. That's what it says. If we want to buy it tomorrow, that's what they have available, but someone may have bought it today. If we decide to bid, he said that price would be very similar to that. Obviously, that number would go up or down depending on the equipment package. The next document inside there, this truck is being purchased in anticipation of being a brush unit, replacing the unit that we have next door. Chemtech is the manufacturer of this particular unit. It's the same model that we have on the UTV. Everything will run very similar. We try to keep it very simple, so we're not learning different pumps, different systems. It just makes it very easy for our members. So you'll see that there are two different dimensions we can go with, depending on how many gallons of water we want to stay with. That will determine if we would go with an 8-foot or a 6-foot bed. I think the general consensus is to stay with a long bed right now. This gives us a couple more options moving forward. We need to haul different things. In the winter months, we get a fire, that brush unit's out, that's a skid mounted pump. We can throw frozen hose, something that gives us more room to move that stuff back if need be. And then behind that, you'll see the.
Jim, real quick, just I'm just. On this pump, base price is $9,700.
Base price is $9,700.
What upgrades are you guys? Do you have any ideas? Are you going to with a 13-horse electric start? Are you going with a 9-horse electric start? Do you have any ideas yet?
For me, the 9-horse would be plenty for the application that we're going to use it for. We don't need a ton of pressure. We just need more
capacity.
Water capacity. Yeah, water capacity.
And I'm assuming you're going to go with the electric start?
Simple. Yeah. Okay. Keep it simple. The electric start, and then I would like to see if you go to the next page, the lockable toolboxes and storage. Again, we're going to use the whole bed of the pickup truck up for this particular skid mounted unit. We got to have areas to secure tools. Be able to add that in. That way, we're not cramming things next to the skid mounted unit itself. I've spoke with the sales rep. They don't anticipate any price changes with the new tariffs because they do have stock sitting there. However, each unit is individually built custom. Everything, they don't have them stockpiled, so but they said they have the building materials that they purchased last year. So you don't see any real price changes for us moving forward. And then the next set of paperwork is the actual sticker, as you would say, or just the explanation of the vehicles. Going through it, they're all very, very similar with the packages that are offered. There's no real bells and whistles to speak of. Again, this is a working vehicle. The plan is to go with a vinyl floor, something easy to clean out. But there are still some creature comfort things in there because we are going to be potentially traveling long distances in this vehicle with our water rescue response and different things going on inside the county. So, does anybody have any questions? Oh, on top of this price, we anticipate about a $5,000 bill for lighting, graphics, a sound system, as in speaker, PA, and the console.
Four-wheel drive, dually or single axle?
Single axle.
Single axle, okay. And the only one out of these three currently right now that has aluminum body is the Ford, correct?
Correct. And I would not recommend that for off-road.
You would not recommend the Ford?
I would not recommend the Ford. The aluminum body, anyway. Did the one tons go to the aluminum?
The three-quarter ton does. My three-quarter ton's aluminum. So.
Just the money and for the wear and tear that we put on vehicles, we're not doing what Kevin does. We don't need the full box frame necessarily. The Ford is the most expensive. Again, they offer the full box frame. It's a little bit beefier. But again, I don't anticipate the wear and tear that he puts on it with the plow and things like that. Through research and just through my professional and side job work, I've had the opportunity to operate all three of these vehicles. They operate very similarly. My recommendation would be to go with the Ram. That gives us some more opportunity in the budget. At the $8,000 difference between that and the Ford, we can pay for the lights, graphics, and a good chunk of that. That's getting out of the pump. So that would be my recommendation. Obviously, we'd have to sit and...
Yeah.
And then we're putting the current brush truck up for on GovDeals when the time comes for a minimum bid of, what, $2?
Something like that.
We'll buy it for 42 cents.
We received it for free.
Yeah.
Yeah, that motor's worth money. It's a 7.3.
Bench Farms in a fire truck?
No, I. That's what I got, a 7.3, and 7.3s are good motors.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're not acting on this. We're just discussing this.
The information research study.
Okay. Well, thank you, Captain.
The 2019 bid for Ram comes out.
Yeah.
Do they talk about financing? Is there any financing for government through their credit sources like Ford Motor Credit or
I did not inquire. I can. Historically, when we purchase those vehicles, Kevin, you can speak
He's
to
gone.
This.
No,
Kevin's not. We usually go through our local bank, less
I agree. But if they have financing options to consider, I think it makes sense along with
I can,
banks.
I'll call
it might be, for Chrysler, it'd be Chrysler Capital. For GM, it's commercial lending, if, because then they're going to know the interest rate, and they're going to know that we can then shop with that in mind. And yeah, it doesn't matter where we borrow the money from, as long as
doesn't it's that the have to go price. Out to bid though for financing.
For the financing it made,
right?
We did, obviously we did for the squad, but that was a much bigger.
Yeah, I wonder what the dollar. I wonder what the dollar amount is that we. It's what we borrow too. So if you put cash against the down, then that would lower it to not bid for financing, and then you could go with whoever you would like. And I think $45,000 comes to mind because we, the culvert on Van Dyke. Remember that? That was at that threshold where we didn't have to bid it out.
Mm-hmm.
We could just do it, you know, pick who we wanted. And if it's $42,000 for the truck, we wouldn't finance the skid unit and the lights and the graphics.
That's true.
And if we put cash down to lower our liability, we can pick whatever institution might be the best option. Right. Just as a thought, that'd be a lot less work, too.
I will get that information for you.
Do you really think we need a diesel?
I do.
You do?
I do. A couple reasons.
Tell
number
me.
One, that's all we have next door. That's what we use. We start fueling different vehicles. Now we put gas in a diesel, or we put diesel in a gas. Again, this is not something that people
just want. You want to stay standard.
Stay standard. Yeah. Stay clean with it. With the emissions and stuff now on the diesels themselves, they're clean burning. The pulling power isn't much different if you go between the diesel and the gas. But I just like to have the availability of the additional horsepower on a 30-foot trailer. If we have to go extreme amount of distances, fuel mileage, efficiency, idle times. That unit could sit and idle for hours on end, depending on what we're doing.
And this is a truck you plan on keeping forever, not replacing in 5 years?
No.
You know, so.
So when
we're doing well out over our excursion, we're at 88,000 on mileage on that thing.
And what year is that?
That's not counting how many.
That's a 2000 and what, three?
Two, I think.
Or two.
I think it's 2002.
And it's still run. I mean.
Oh, it's still great.
It's
there's no problem with
yeah.
It's serving us well.
And it's
no intention of it leaving.
We're good at fire services, cramming things in places. So we start adding additional weight. It's just this, the maintenance of it, and not having to worry about someone going out at 2 in the morning after we've been out all night and throwing diesel in a gas tank. It'll save us the money for the diesel and that alone. By the time we go drain it, prepare the injectors, or if it would be the gas, it would be the injectors. But so that would be my recommendation.
So you just mentioned pulling a 30-foot trailer. Would you use this vehicle to pull the new trailer?
Oh yeah, definitely. Okay. That's one of the main intents for it to do. Yes.
And this has got the tow package, so I'll be hooked up for the brakes and.
So the tow package will be everything will be hooked up. It's got brake controllers that's included. The plan is the trailer is going to have emergency light and seam lighting added to it that will be wired in through the 7-plug and run off that box.
Okay. All right. Anything else, Dylan?
Here's your three parcels.
I just have one more.
The second two are quite interesting.
Share with you.
Permanent appropriations.
I think we're going to wait till next.
Okay. Meeting. All right.
Oh, go ahead, Chief.
Just real quick.
That's federal property.
Sorry. I'm sorry. Oh, it's all federal property?
No.
Oh, no.
The second two are interesting.
Anchor Point? Or no, what is it? That's
It's Anchor Point and Poacher's Highway.
That's the water low treatment plant there.
Yep. That could be very impacting.
And that's Anchor Point on, no.
It's the next to the road.
The ditch.
To the west of the drive.
Yeah.
We could get flooded that way.
Who owns it?
I don't think anybody owns that. I think it's one of those. Look
up, all right, and very interesting. Yeah, the water treatment plant, and then the other one's the federal marsh there, huh?
Yeah.
I can't believe that dike's strong up there.
Yeah, but you can see it's real low there.
No, they said it's really bad. I talked to some of the guys.
Really?
It's bad.
Hmm.
I think they should just open up to 100.
I agree.
All right, Chief, go ahead. Sorry.
The only thing I wanted to share with you is the other day we had a mutual aid response to Ballville Fire Department for a water rescue, and the team just did a fantastic job. Our diver was able to accomplish the mission, be able to hook on the retrieving cable to the vehicle and be able to pull the vehicle. They were then able to pull the vehicle up and out and then retrieve the victim out of the vehicle. So, you know, again, we're working in 1 degree. It was 1 degree temperature. And, you know, we were able to be successful. Ballville Fire Department has dive teams, and their divers made their attempts when the first call came in. It was their call. And they had equipment freeze-up problems, partly because they entered the water and then they had to travel a distance to get to there. When our diver arrived, when we used our diver, we utilized a boat, took the diver out, and then the diver went down immediately to the vehicle, but he never did have any equipment. As soon as he comes out of the water, he froze. I mean, that's how instantaneous this happens. That just, you know, you freeze up and you're done. So you know that, Bo.
Nope.
But I was just, be proud of, I'm asking, just be proud of our accomplishments. You know, our training stays persistent. We follow through. Our guys did the job. He was in the water probably a good 10, maybe 15 minutes, dealing with that frigid cold water and was able to do the job. So Ballville Township, I talked to them today again. They thanked us and thanked us. Now, they are the same company, same department we call when we need an airboat. You know, they've assisted this township several occasions. So this time it was our turn to return the favor. They were very helpful, very pleased. Ottawa County divers also showed up. So, you know, it all went really well. And once we got there, we were able to accomplish the mission that they asked us to do. So I'm just real proud of everybody. And it just follows through that our training is paying off to be consistent with it. And we have good equipment.
Anything else? All right. Looking for a motion to adjourn.
That's a move.
Second.
Roll call. Bill Miller.
Yes.
Dave Bench.
Yes.
Mark Sattler.
Yes.
Motion carried.
9:24. Joel. Hey, I got to ask you. Did you guys do something with e-dispatch?
Joel. It's updated.
I don't have it. I didn't get one.
You would have already left.
Do I have to? Yeah, it automatically updated. Is that... That's the new one.
Hyper-responding updated.
E-dispatch. Yeah, yeah.
See how you got mutual aid now shows up?
They're all in. Unless you'd like to.
But I'm not getting e-dispatch.
That's fine. If you want it, you got
the phone number. So what do I have to do?
I don't think you have to do anything.
All right, great. Okay.
Because we were...
It's interesting.